remembers this song. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while. 'Cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Who was that by, Miss Nola? Twyla? That's a first name. Twyla, what's Paris? Thank you. That is old school. That was college days for me. So you know that is way back. While praise and worship was still in the ancient era, you know, now you have so many different names of new worship leaders and you have new faces coming on the scene. But I've always remembered, I think that's the only song I remember from Twyla that she sung. And it describes the feeling of someone who is strong in the Lord, who fights a lot of battles. How many of y'all know that if you're walking right with the Lord, that you're going to come across all kinds of battles on many different levels in your life, right? The enemy is not threatened by lukewarm Christians. He wants to keep them that way because he, quite honestly, he doesn't have to mess with them. But people who are blowing and going and doing things for the kingdom of God, we pose a threat to the enemy, so he's going to try to come against us. So we have that armor. But I want you to listen to the lyrics here. Lately I've been winning battles left and right, but even winners can get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, I'm strong beyond my years, but they don't see the inside of me, I'm hiding all the tears. They don't know that I come running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Unafraid because this armor is the best, but even soldiers need a quiet place to rest. People say that I'm amazing. I never face retreat, but they don't see the enemies that lay me at his feet. And then it goes back into the chorus. They don't know that I come running home when I fall down, et cetera, et cetera. What that song talks about is, you know, no matter how strong we might be in the Lord, how many of y'all know that there's always an inner child in us that, you know, when we sustain wounds, and let me say here, I believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven, the Lord is not going to ask us, where are your stars? He's going to ask us, where are your scars? I want to see that you were engaged in the battle, that you were running toward the battle and not retreating from the battle. Amen? And we will sustain wounds. You know, I once heard a friend of mine say this back in Kansas, and it created such a vivid picture in my mind that it's never escaped me. He said, when I stand before the Lord wearing my armor, he said, I want there to be chinks on my armor. I want there to be dents. I want there to be demon blood and guts spilled and staining all over my armor, or my armor stained with all that. Wouldn't you want that? Because that meant that we were engaged in the battle, right? Now, what's the Lord going to think of us if we go up there with a shiny armor, no dents, no fiery darts, we're bouncing off, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to say, did you sleep through your life? What's the deal? Right? But even the strongest of us, we know, if I can say it this way, we know the demons we face, right? Nobody else might know our personal demons. Nobody else might know the inner battles that we fight on a daily basis. Who would be brave enough and honest enough to say here that sometimes these battles consume our attention and they refocus, or let me better use a different word, they distract us from thoughts towards the Lord. Right? And how many of y'all have ever felt that there were days that as soon as you woke up, there was a demon waiting for you at the end of your bed saying, good morning. Here comes round one. Ding, ding. Who's ever felt that way? Is it just me? Because sometimes, you know, I'll be living my life and I'll be going through my day. I mean, I'll use my prayer time in the morning first thing. And then I'll read my Bible first thing in the morning. But throughout the day, it seems like a whole day will have gone without me meditating on the Word, without me thinking about the Lord. And I feel so guilty. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world just happened? Who feels that way? Right? I mean, it's like, gosh, what am I doing with my life? Because I'm not really focusing or investing my thoughts where I probably can better if I didn't have so many cotton picking distractions. But, you know, we understand the reality that I think it'll be in heaven when all of our passing thoughts will be consumed on the Lamb of glory, but not until then. Amen? Unless you live in a monastery, but even then there can be distractions, right? Okay, so having said that, since the devil can't make you, or if he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6. So we know that every warrior within our armor, there is a child. And we get wounded in the fights. Who's ever been wounded in this walk of faith? All right, thank you. Another question, who's ever been wounded by a, and I'm not talking friendly fire, I'm talking unfriendly fire from another believer? Don't those wounds hurt the worst? Who's ever been stabbed in the back? I heard that witness. And who's ever had the knife twisted once you were stabbed? Yikes. You know, I once had an accountability friend that I told everything to. I'll never do this again. I'm telling you, you live and learn. And you think you can trust some people sometimes. And I entrusted all my, you know, he was a godly man. I thought I could trust him. I really did, because he seemed like a trustworthy guy. Until he decided to go to the elders of the church and rat me out every last thing I ever confided in him. And I'm telling you what, I wanted to give him more than a piece of my mind. I wanted to give him a piece of my fist, truth be told. Because I thought, you know, you turncoat. I had a few other choice words pass through my mind that I did not put into words, thank the Lord, but... like my wife, they did pass through my mind, right, babe? She's like, we were having a conversation up in Chicago. She's like, babe, we have this on occasion, like my mouth, babe. I said, babe, it's more than just your mouth. Remember this, babe? We were talking, it's a heart condition. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes it's not just the mouth. Who would agree with me? It's not just what comes out the mouth. It's what's in the heart, right? Because didn't Jesus say, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth's going to speak? So it's not a mouth condition, it's a heart condition. And so we were talking about that. And so anyway, so, you know, the enemy will try to keep us busy, will wound us, will fight us, will, you know, I believe that there are different levels of demons with different assignments. You know, they're not all the same. Not all demons are the same. Sometimes we use, to describe demons, we use the word devil. But technically, Satan can only be at one place at one time. Right? His demons, though, are everywhere. They all have different assignments. And I believe that the weakest demons are assigned to maybe baby Christians, or assigned to those Christians who are just beginning to learn about the armor of God, and about the fact that in our journey there are going to be battles, right? And how many of y'all have discovered that the enemy knows how to use carnal Christians and knows how to use other people who might not know the Lord, and other people know how to push your buttons and jerk your chain and josh your taters. I'm trying to use all this country bumpkin speak. Say amen when it hits. josh your taters, or, you know, whatever floats your boat, or lifts your luggage, as they say now. Thank you for coming to church. You learn something new every day, right? Aside from the word. All right. Aren't we supposed to be in Mark 6? Okay. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. This is after, you know, the Lord had commissioned them to go, you know, two by two into cities, into towns, and do what Jesus did. Basically, Jesus was replicating his ministry through these apostles, and he sent 72. Well, these were 12 that returned, but then there were other 72, and they came to tell Jesus what they had done and taught. And please understand, this is at the tail end of Jesus hearing the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. Wow, okay? And so Jesus says this, verse 31, and he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, for they did not even have time to eat." Wow. Who's ever been there? Have you ever been so busy you just didn't have time to eat? I have. Right? You're just like, you know, you tell your hunger pains. I've got to be honest, my body is a brat because I run so much. I've got to feed it, like, whenever it says, "I'm hungry," you know. And so it's like that pizza commercial, avoid the noid. So the noid screams loudly within me. But there have been times I've just been so busy. I said, you know, I'm just going to have lunch at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon because it's not happening. And so anyway, so this is the condition of the people there coming and going. We were in the city in downtown Chicago. How many of y'all know that there's a lot of hustle and bustle in downtown Chicago? Train, the L's going, the transit buses are going, the crowds are going. And then on top of the crowds, you can tell who the tourists are, because it's in the middle of the day and people who have a job are working. But the other guys there, why do tourists all have binoculars hanging from their necks and have a cap? And these older guys have shorts and they're showing their ugly white legs. Hairy, ugly white legs, right, babe? There was a couple, I remember that couple at the L. We were at, I can't remember which station, train station stop we were. We had got the wrong train, so we were heading south. And she's like, "Oh, I want to go to South Chicago." I said, "Baby, no, they'll take you out of a body bag in South Chicago. Let's go north." "No, I want to go." Okay, but we went north, thankfully. And there was this couple from Kansas, remember, babe? And they said, "Well, we're here touring Chicago." And they asked me what I did for a living. And I love how it always, when I tell them, because I said, "I used to live in Kansas." And they asked, "What did you do in Kansas?" I said, "Oh, I was a pastor." Immediate awkward silence. That's a conversation killer, like zzz, all this white noise. All of a sudden, because they just, that does not compute. And then all of a sudden they turned their back toward us and just walked off. So it is what it is. But anyway, so the point is, we were just in a city where there was so much hustle and bustle. Just crossing the street with all the throng of people, especially during their lunch hour, and the cars bumper to bumper traffic downtown. You know, I think that this is what Jesus describes in this verse. He said, you know, let's get away from it all. Let's get away to a deserted place. Let me ask a question. Do we have our own quote-unquote deserted place? Do we have a place of solitude that we can escape to and just talk to Jesus and turn off the TV and turn off the radio and just tune in to the Lord and tune in to his word? And, you know, I've got to tell you that the more we do that, practice solitude, being alone, and practice silence, that is really good medicine for your soul. Right? I think those are so ancient values, but they so ring true today. But I think we're so geared to modern technology, and we're addicted to busyness. You know, I think you always ask someone, how are you doing? Oh, it's just busy, busy, crazy busy. And I've said it myself. But I think we need to learn the art of stepping out away from the hustle and bustle. And I'll quote, let me quote Psalm 46, verse 10, out of the Message Bible. Okay, I'd like for you to write down this message because it is stated perfectly. Out of any other translation, it basically says, be still and know that I am God. The Message Bible says this, step out of the traffic. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Don't we all need time to retreat? Retreat. Jesus retreated. Jesus departed many times to a place by himself. Early in the morning, he was found in a solitary place by himself, and he was praying. One time the disciples went to look for him, and they overheard him praying. And when Jesus was done praying, they said, Master, teach us to pray. This is in Luke chapter 11. Master, teach us to pray. They were so impressed by the way Jesus spoke to his Father that they wanted to know. You know, the disciples never asked Jesus, teach us to preach, or tell us how to preach. They didn't say, tell us how to cast out demons. They didn't say that. They said, teach us to pray. And I think there's a lot to be said when we step out of the traffic deliberately. And how many of y'all know it's like anything else that we prioritize? We have to make it a priority, because if we don't make something a priority, we're going to let everything else come in and take place. You know, I've learned, church family, that there are two kinds of living. You can either live by design or you can live by default. And I see so many people living by default. It's like we let life happen instead of making priority for what we prioritize, and we make our priorities happen, and we don't let life take precedence over our priorities. That's why for me, I've got to pray first thing in the morning. I've got to get in the Bible first thing in the morning. Because if I dilly-dally and hem-haw around, guess what? Life will happen and I will not be able to find time later in the day for what is most important to me. Can I get a witness in the house? Is this good wisdom? It is, right? So listen, And sometimes I hate keeping it real, because then it sounds like I'm mad, or I'm not mad, or it sounds like I'm criticizing. I'm not being critical, but it's amazing, church family, how many people that I come across that tell me, you know, oh, I tried to start this project. What happened? Well, you know, life got busy. I tried to, you know, get into an exercise program. What happened? Oh, you know, life happened. You know what, buddy? You're living life by default. You're not living life by design. Because, can we just like cut through all the bull and all the excuses, church family? Because life can be lived by design if we prioritize something well enough. Right? I mean, who brushed your teeth this morning? Their teeth. I brushed them. Are those priority? You know, Cindy and I, we floss our teeth every night. Gosh, if we had met on a dating site, it would have been Tinder, babe. Swipe. Oh, wow. I thought you meant swipe right. Okay, so what we see here is we have to make priority. Listen, anything else, I think a lot of, once again, I'm going to keep it real, a lot of people shuck and jive about their prayer life. They shuck and jive about their Bible study or their time in the Word. I don't have time. I don't have time. Bull, you have time to do everything else. You have time to go to the golf course, but you don't have time to pray? Yoo-hoo! You know, baby, you're living life by default and you're making excuses for yourself. Can I be honest? Anybody who makes excuses for themselves, church family, I don't have a lot of compassion for. If you want to do something, who all believes with me that if you really want to do something bad enough, you can do it. You know, we love that Philippians 4:13. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. But you provide that scripture context. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. No, you know, life is too busy. Life happens. That's living life by default and not living life by design. Isn't this good teaching tonight? You know, I'm basically telling you to set your rudder for the destination you want your ship of life to go in. But don't let the winds and the waves dictate your direction, because pretty soon you're going to be capsized. Set your rudder. Go with me to James chapter 3. So far, so good, everybody? James chapter 3. We're going to jump into a verse of scripture, verse 4 of James 3. Look also at ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Let's all say that. Wherever the pilot desires. Does the pilot say, I can't help it? The winds are blowing this way. The waves are beating that way. Does he say that? Or does he say, hey, let's just set the rudder to wherever we need the boat to go in? Right? Wherever the pilot desires. So listen, my friends, let's as I heard once a preacher once say, let's pray the price. Let's buckle down and commit to stepping out of the traffic. When we're wounded, step out of the traffic and have a long talk with the Lord. Take a long, loving look at Him, our Most High God, above politics and above everything else. You know, I had some friends when I was in Kansas. Understand the state of Kansas, at least Northwest Kansas. They were rabid fundamentalists. Look, can I say something here? You know, when I accepted Jesus Christ at the age of 15, I didn't have any labels. I hate labels. It seems like when you come into the kingdom of God, it's not that God gives you labels. It's like everybody else wants to give you a label. Well, what kind of Christian are you? Are you liberal? Are you moderate? Or are you conservative? Or are you a fundamentalist? Can I just love Jesus in a sincere and pure heart without you having to label me? What are you? Pentecostal? Are you Anglican? Are you Catholic? Are you, you know, Protestant? What are you? Are you Presbyterian? Are you Baptist? Are you Northern Baptist? Are you Southern Baptist? Are you this? Are you that? Are you North American Baptist? Or are you take your pick Baptist? Right? Or, you know, I remember when I was first saved, there was a group that we went to, and because they didn't want labels, they labeled their name of their group the No Label Group. Welcome. We love Jesus out of pure and sincere heart. We don't have a name, so we call it the No Name Group. Isn't that in itself a label? Who's tired of labels, man? Can we just love Jesus out of a pure and sincere heart? You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, I'm afraid that the enemy has seduced you away from the pure and sincere love of Jesus. Can I just love Jesus that way without being labeled? Well, and I know which one I've earned, the crazy Mexican preacher. I've earned that one, okay? You can call me that. I've earned the R-rated preacher, okay? You can call me that if you want. But anyway, okay. So let's live life by design. Let's pray the price. Let's step out of the traffic. Let's carve out the clutter. Go with me to Mark 4, please. Mark chapter 4. Jesus talks about a parable of this farmer that is broadcasting seed, and this seed of his word lands on four different types of ground. It is hard ground, it is stony, it is thorny, and it is good ground, okay? And none of these grounds bear fruit except the last one, right? It's only on the good ground that the Word of God finds root or takes root in the heart of a person's life. And the grounds represent people's hearts, different heart conditions, not physical hearts, different spiritual heart conditions. Now, notice with me in verse 17 or verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, verse 18, that's the one I was looking for. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Notice, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Let's all say cares of the world. Okay, you know how it reads in the Living Bible? We're going one back before the New Living Translation. It's the Living Bible. It reads this, the distractions of the age. Isn't it amazing how distractions can really eat up our time, eat up our allegiance to the Word, eat up our worship of the Lord? Yoo-hoo! It's gotten quiet. So, distractions are a part of it. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to quote it out of the Message Bible. I believe it's verse, let me turn there. You can turn there with me. Verse 25, notice carefully. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Okay? Do you want to know how that reads in the Message Bible? Ignore all the sideshow distractions. Ignore the bearded lady. Ignore the guy with six different fingers in one hand, so to speak. Ignore the flame eater. Ignore all that. Ignore the sideshow distractions. If we want to step out of the traffic, how many of y'all would agree with me that some of the traffic we need to step out of, we ourselves have created? I'll raise my hand to that. I create my own traffic, and then I'm like, Lord, Calgon, Lord, help me. You know, the warrior is a child because I created my own traffic. Huh? Remember, I had a girlfriend. I dated a chick for a couple months. And she used to be big on Days of Our Lives. And I'm telling you what, because she worked and she wasn't able to watch it live, she would pre-record all of the episodes. What are you doing tonight, babe? Oh, honey, I'm watching Days of Our Lives. I want to watch Gabby Gale because she's coming after her counter alter ego, Abigail. What? And you suck off of that? Listen, we have to step out of the traffic. We have to, when we are hurt, when we are wounded in the battle, we have to run to the Lord, don't we? We have to say, I need a timeout. How many of y'all believe that sometimes timeouts are good? Right? We just, Lord, there have been times that I just said, you know what? Forget all this. What I need right now is to get alone with the Lord. I need to repent. This is me talking, okay? I need to repent because I got myself into this traffic jam in my mind that I can't get myself out of, and I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. I do that, church family. Listen, I do that. You know, sometimes when Cindy and I pray, I say, Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. You know, I keep reading this guy with a certain ministry, and I won't mention his name. He's saying, now that you're in Christ, you don't need to repent. I'm like, sir, you obviously haven't read your Bible. What did Jesus tell some of the churches in the book of Revelation? Repent. And wouldn't it stand to reason? Because his logic was, you're forgiven of all your sins, which you are, the ones that you even haven't committed yet, you are, He's like, so you don't need to repent. How many of y'all know that if I hurt any of your feelings because I love you all, I'm going to ask for forgiveness because I hurt your feelings? Isn't that much more important with a master? Right? If I grieve the Holy Spirit, you know, my first words out of my mouth need to be, Father, forgive me. I was ignorant. Forgive me for doing that. Help me, Jesus, do better. Okay, with me to Matthew chapter 11, please. How many of y'all know that Jesus calls us to be prayer warriors, not prayer worriers? Who can distinguish the difference? I don't ever want to be a prayer warrior. You know, I lived my life, the majority of my life, eaten up by fear. Cindy will tell you I'm one of the most peaceful guys. And, you know, when something happens, I'm like, babe, let's just pray about it. Aren't those the first words out of my mouth? We're not going to worry about it. We're not going to fret. We're going to pray about it. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says, do not worry about anything. Pray about everything. Right? So that's our little go-to. Okay, Matthew chapter 11. We're going to jump into verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. Isn't that what Jesus told his apostles? He said, let's go to a departed place and let's find rest. How many of y'all know that not only sometimes do we get physically tired, emotionally tired, those two are tiring. But who can tell when your spiritual tank is running on fumes? Huh? And you know what I've found that some Christians, that's when they stay away from the Lord and stay away from church. Baby, that's a time to run to the church house, not stay away from the church house. It's like, yeah, my needle's just almost under E. I'm going to stay away from that gas station. When we're running on spiritual fumes, listen, there's going to be all kinds of breakdown. Physical weariness is the least of our problems. Emotional weariness is the least of our problems. Who has found that if you refresh yourself spiritually, the emotions will automatically begin to gain strength? Right? Go with me to Isaiah 40. Last scripture we look at. Has this been a good lesson, guys? Isaiah chapter 40. Let's begin reading with verse 28. Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the what? And to those who have no might, he increases what? Power or strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Look at this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shouldn't we be waiting on the Lord? You know, often we equate that wait on the Lord like, oh gosh, you know, how much longer? In the Hebrew, that's not what that means. You want to know what that word wait means in the Hebrew language? To gather together before the Lord. What do you think we're doing tonight? We are waiting on the Lord. Wouldn't you say that all of us here, we're living by design tonight because we didn't let whatever was going on, fill up our time. We carved out time and prioritized the Word of God, right? You know what you're doing right now? You're waiting before the Lord. You have gathered together before the Lord. What do you think we do Sunday mornings? Aren't we waiting on the Lord? Aren't we gathering together before the Lord? So let me ask you this question. How important is going to church? Who has found that if you go to church, listen, I figured this out as a teenager. My week goes much better I remember as a teenager when my dad was against me becoming a Protestant and going to church. You know, it really astounds me that all of my Catholic family, and I'm just talking for myself, okay? I'm just talking about myself, not talking about all the rest of the Catholics. I'm not labeling them that way. I'm just talking about my own experience. They were mad at me because I did not go to the church they didn't go to. Did you just hear what I said? They got all bent out of shape. Joe, you should be going to the Catholic church. And I'm like, lead the way. They didn't go to church, but they're all mad because you don't go to their church that they never go to. I had an uncle that was so dogmatic when he heard from my mom. You know, this is my mom's brother. Before I knew the Lord, he used to take me to strip joints in Mexico and bars in Mexico as a 14-year-old kid. They didn't want your ID. They wanted your greenbacks down south. And then when I became a follower of Jesus Christ, well, Joe, the problem with you is that you don't practice the Catholic religion the way you should. I'm like, what? So you taking me south of the border and taking me to places I should never be at 14 or any time? And you're telling me I wasn't practicing Catholicism correctly? People are stupid. Am I the only one that thinks this way? People get mad at you because you no longer go, come on somebody, to the church they never went to. That makes perfect sense. And they're mad at you because you're there Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings. Sometimes I would stand there before the doors open. That was the work of grace on my heart. I need church. I learned that at a young age. My life will go smoother. There were times that I couldn't go to church, and it bugged me, and it bugged me, and it bugged me, and it ate at me all week long. When Cindy and I pray, we pray every day, don't we, babe? When I pray for one of my daughters, you can imagine, you can just know who it is. And I'm like, Lord, get them back in church. They need church. They might not think they need church, but they need church. They need to gather before the Lord so that they can renew their strength. Okay, I'm done. Was this a good lesson? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for teaching us and guiding us, Lord. Help us to live by design and not by default. Father, help us to prioritize you. Even when life happens, Lord, even when there are so much going on, I know, Lord, I confess, this is what prompted the lesson tonight, Lord. I look at my life and I let so much consume my mind that is not Jesus. Work or this or that, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, I repent. We repent. Help us to make effort to prioritize you, to live life by design and not make excuses, Lord. We do what we make priority to do. We do the things that are important for us to do. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.